Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello! Welcome to another episode of Telling Everybody Everything. I just completed my tour, so thank you if you came to see the show, Mrs., anywhere in the UK or in Europe, or if you saw it in America or if you saw it in Canada. I really appreciate it. If you weren't able to see it, it will be released as a special soon, though we are ironing out the details of that because we... I'll spare you the details. We hit some fucking bumps in the road. I might have to make an edit because I'm not going to spare you the details. I might. Basically, America thinks it's the center of the universe. And I get it. But America, I don't know if you've seen the news, you've not done well lately. You don't really produce much. You're on a real downward spiral. And culture does not come from you. So, I mean, I don't know. Americans have this idea that they're like, you need to take this out and put this in and make this more American. And it's like, why? For who? Like, have you heard of Bridgerton? America fucking loves Bridgerton and it's British. And we speak English over here and people know about us. And One Direction was really famous and the Beatles were really famous. And all of your best actors are actually British doing an accent, usually badly, and you're fine with that. But I mean, I don't know. We're in discussions. I might have to change some little things around, but I hope not to, because you know what? I love the UK. This is my home. This is where my children are from. This is where my daughter goes to school. Fred probably won't be educated. He'll just, you know, go to some type of farming program. But Violet is English, and I don't know, like a lot of my influences are British, and I think that's okay. And I know it's confusing for people because I have this accent, but I also give people the benefit of the doubt that, you know, they know most of what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is never very niche. And I've had it both ways. Like when I first came to the UK, producers and commissioners were like, well, she's talking about American stuff. I was talking about the Kardashians in 2008, 2009. And people were like, Catherine, nobody understands what you're talking about. Nobody knows that family. And I was like, oh, well, you will. And don't you now? Some of you still don't. God bless you for living under a rock. But like, I was right. And there are cultural things that I am attracted to and I am intrigued by and I want to talk about. And I think that the audience that I attract wants to talk about those things too. And I think I make what I'm saying abundantly clear to everyone. I've done this show in the Netherlands, I've done it in Paris, America, Canada, I mean, all throughout Scandinavia. I've been around. People get it. People get it. So anyway, one way or another, that is coming to you very soon if you'd like to watch it from home. A lot of really good stuff's coming out. I can't wait to see that Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie. It's apparently the number one movie in the world on Netflix. Don't know what it's called. You don't need to know. It's called Christmas something. And all you have to do is go to Netflix and search Lindsay Lohan, who's looking better than ever. Have you seen Lindsay Lohan? Like, let's please normalize Paris Hilton being 40 years old and looking better than she did when she was 20 years old. And now Lindsay Lohan went through like a child star tumultuous downward spiral, let's call it, where she looked quite, I don't know, like a party animal. I was going to say bloated. And then I was like, don't say that about someone, but that's what it was. And the message is Lindsay Lohan's gorgeous, but let's, you know, keep a handle on our alcohol consumption and Red Bull and whatever was going on with these girls at that time. Late nights, everybody needs to sleep. And she looks fucking incredible now. I've seen, like, I don't even think she's had work done. I just think she looks tight. I don't know if she has had work done. If you have any information, Lindsay Lohan, if you're listening, because you and I should be best friends. I don't know why we're not. If you have had any aesthetic tweakage, just help a brother out. Tell me what you've had. I hate people who keep it to themselves. You are selfish, rude, unacceptable. And I just want to know. People always comment that I've had stuff done and I haven't. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I've been pregnant and my preferred aesthetic technician slash dentist slash whatever Nina is calling herself now, Dr. Nina, she's like a master of so many things. She does my Botox and filler when I have Botox and filler. She also does like all different treatments. This thing I'm quite interested in called EndoLift, but I also am not really sure. I don't know about heating up your skin anymore. Because I think if you do any lasers or any skin treatments like that, it can encourage collagen production, sure. But also I think heating up your skin too much maybe melts some of the fat underneath and you need fat in your face. And I also feel like these are treatments that you need to kind of keep up every 6 months, 3 months in some cases. And I don't think they have the same pow effect that you're hoping for. I think a lot of us just got to wait and get a lower facelift. I don't want to be chasing my tail, getting Morpheus in my lower jawline all the time to improve skin quality because the laxity is just, it's gone too far. Anyway, I haven't seen Nina in a long time because she's too good at her job. She's too scrupulous. She knows that I'm either pregnant or breastfeeding. So it's not like I can anonymously just like tuck in somewhere and be like, hey, no, I'm not pregnant. I just swallowed a beach ball. Can I please have Botox? No, I've been banned. So anyone who thinks I've had work done, no, I've had the opposite of work done. I've had no work done. And that's why I look like shit. Anyway, I don't look that shit because people were hitting on me up north. If you want to feel good about yourself, ladies, take a walk around the Christmas markets of Manchester. I was strolling along. And I was wearing my husband's clothes. So I have a stage dress. It's by Gucci. If, you know, people reach out to me and I feel like I'm loud about this on social media enough and you should know where my stuff is from if you follow me. But the lesson is, you know, people don't always see everything that you post. So sometimes you have to say it again. My headbands and bows or, you know, any hair accessory that I have is usually Victoria Percival. You can go to her website. She has lots of nice Christmas goodies in the new collection, but she does the headband that I wear on tour. My dress and my shoes that I wear on tour are Gucci. Why? Because you're worth it. Because we did 100 shows. And if you divide the cost of the dress by 100, then like per night, a costume fee plus dry cleaning is not that much. And that's what I do. I wear the same dress every night on tour. So I pack very little. The dress is just ready on a hanger. That's all I need. And during the day, I'm either just doing some work or doing a podcast if I don't have the family with me. If I have the family with me, then yes, I have to pack absolutely everything in my life for Fred. But I didn't. This was my last time alone. I just went up north with my tour manager, Annie, who is now in Qatar working on the opening and I think closing ceremonies of the World Cup. Qatar is a, you know, contentious and controversial place right now, but a lot of people have gone there. And a lot of people will be watching the World Cup. What is that? It is a contest of football, I'm told. Annie and I were alone, and so I had some takeaway, and I went for a little walk wearing my husband Bobby's clothes. I had my own UGG boots. I had Bobby's track pants. I had Bobby's college jumper, and I had a toque on, like a Canadian, you know, woolly hat. And my Zara, oh my gosh, speaking of coats. I was wearing my Zara bomber jacket because I thought it looked like one that Molly May had. Molly May from Love Island, who is dating Tommy Fury and expecting a baby with him. And I loved her pregnancy style and I wanted to start looking more like Molly May. So I started buying I Love leggings, maternity leggings. They have regular leggings too. Really nice, really comfortable, not see-through. And I started just basically copying all her clothes. Molly May wears a mixture of designer and high street and she just looks great. And I think the key to Molly May's beauty is just, well, number one, natural beauty, But what she does that I don't do is she does hair and makeup. So she'll be in, you know, slouch socks, maybe some nice crisp white Balenciaga trainers, high street leggings, high street jacket, Louis Vuitton purse, or a Chanel bag. But then she's got like loads of beautifully manicured extensions and her makeup's all done. I don't do the face or hair when I'm out. I'm like looking like Molly Mae in the clothes, but then I've got my little red pregnant nose and no makeup on. So the coats, as a little detour, Bobby, my husband, I love him very much. Don't get it twisted. I love Bobby more than ever, but we've hit two bumps in the road this week. Number one, he doesn't like boxes. He doesn't like, he's not materialistic at all. It's one of the things I love about Bobby. He brings me back to my roots. He reminds me where I came from. He's very humble. He doesn't like waste. He doesn't like spending a lot of money on things you don't need. And he believes in decluttering. And doing that provides so much peace and clarity in your life. We all just juggled rooms. Violet had so much fucking stuff. Like, I'm talking designer things with tags on, unopened gifts. So watch this space, because I am teaching Violet how to create either an eBay or Depop account. And she is going to be selling all these things for charity because, I mean, whose fault is it? Mine. But she's got just so much stuff. Bobby throws it all away or gives it to charity regularly, and he breaks down boxes in the garage, and he's always like, Catherine, what are you ordering? What are you doing? But I don't, you know, I'm trying to get better, and I am trying to pack away things that are off season. So this summer, I packed away all of our winter coats. I am talking about my iconic Prada floor length puffer jacket that I wore on Who Do You Think You Are, that I wore when I first reconnected with Bobby, that I have worn solidly since I bought it. How long ago was that? Just about 4 years ago, coming up on Christmas. I bought it for Who Do You Think You Are, because you weren't allowed to wear Canada Goose on the BBC, because Canada Goose is a little bit contentious due to the fact that they murder geese and coyotes, and it's not great. It really isn't great. And I needed my eyes open to that. So when that happened, I went, oh shit, yeah, you're right, BBC. I bought the Prada coat. I gave away my Canada Goose jacket, and I gave away the children's Canada Goose jackets too. Oh no, I only had one child. I gave away Violet's one, or she might have had two sizes. Anyway, I'm trying to be better. So I packed away all these coats. It was not just my Prada coat. It was Violet's winter coats, the one she needs for school, which is like branded to her school uniform. I packed away my Ray jackets. You might have seen in the Duchess, I have like a long pink, lovely fuzzy jacket. I have that in a variety of colors. Packed that away. Packed away Bobby's winter coats. Packed away some leather jackets. Packed it all away. That has gone missing. That's gone. That entire bag of coats has either been donated to charity, which is what I'm hoping, or it has been thrown out in a skip. Because every once in a while, Bobby gets a skip. For American audiences, a skip is a dumpster. And they drop it off in your driveway and you fill it up, and then they collect it and they take it away for a fee. And my fear is that my entire lifetime collection of winter coats is gone in the trash. And I really hope someone's wearing those coats. I really hope it's gone somewhere. But we've torn the house apart. I don't have any of those coats. But that's okay. At first, I was like, oh my gosh, what a waste. But then I was like, well, hopefully they've gone to a better land, to a better person, to a better place, and I don't really miss them. I got really good use out of that Prada coat. It was my favorite. It was also great for being on set, for just chucking it on the floor and sitting on it because it was waterproof, but it was warm, and it was, for some people, it looked like a bin bag. I mean, I squatted down one time to pick something up, and Sarah Pasco's dog, Mouse, came over and pissed on me because I think he thought I was trash. But I mean, that coat and I have been through a lot together, and it's okay to take something that you love, thank it for its service, and let it go. And now I have the one Zara jacket that I bought to copy Molly Mae. I have no other winter jackets. I'm going to buy a baby wearing parka for the winter because the baby's due anytime. And that's it. I was like, you know what, Catherine, you don't need a designer winter jacket. You had that one. You loved it. It's gone now. But I was sad at first. I was like, Bobby, you threw all our jackets away. And he denies doing it. He's like, no, that wasn't me. Well, who would it have been? Because you don't see me going to the dump ordering skips. And he's blaming Violet. And Violet's blaming him. and we just don't know. But what we know for sure and what I have accepted is that all the coats are gone. So, I mean, I hope that one of you is wearing my coats. I hope that very much. And I've learned a lesson from that. The lesson is trust no one. Don't pack your winter coats away. Keep them where you can see them. No, you don't need stuff. You don't need as much stuff as you think. And it's okay when something goes. But I'm walking around Manchester. Oh, the other roadblock Bobby and I bumped into is that I have been told by a lot of sources online that it is a wise decision to start at this point in your pregnancy harvesting colostrum. Colostrum, those of you with kids or those of you, you know, in the know about women's bodies and issues, you'll know that that is the milk that comes first when you have a baby. And it's like really rich and full of antibodies. And it's kind of like oil or like butter. It's yellow or orange like butter. And you only get a little bit because a newborn's stomach when it's born is really, really small. And it's the milk that comes before your actual white milk that looks like milk comes. But I have it now and you won't run out of it. It will just start to come at different times, I guess. And you can squeeze down your breast if you want, like a tutorial on how to do that. They've got loads of them online. You should not be using a breast pump to get it out because that can overstimulate your breasts and then cause uterine contractions. And you don't want to have your baby too early. You just want to chill and wait. But you can just squeeze the milk out and you can order these little syringes online that are sterile colostrum harvesting syringes. And you can just suck it up with these syringes and put it in the freezer. And that way, when your baby is born, your body knows to keep producing the colostrum. Then, like I said, you won't run out. But you've got a freezer stash of even more colostrum. So if your baby's a little bit small or a little bit jaundiced or just a little bit extra hungry or for whatever reason you're struggling to feed, you've got this backup supply and you can thaw it and squirt some of it in their mouth. Great. Love it. I'm a huge fan of everything to do with making babies stronger and healthier and facilitating breastfeeding. It's not for everyone. That's fine. But it's for me. So I'm harvesting colostrum the other night. And Bobby's like, what is this? I said, well, you know, you got to harvest colostrum. He said, no. I said, no, stop doing what you're doing. I don't like it. I don't think you need to do this. For hundreds of years, women didn't do this. And I was like, I'm sorry. Are you referring to the time in history where one of the leading causes of death was childbirth and like babies didn't make it? And you look back at your family tree and you see like, oh, this man was married to Emily. And then, you know, in 1850, Emily had a baby. And then in 1850, later in the year, she was dead and he had a new wife all of a sudden. And then that wife had three kids. And then when she had her fourth kid at age 16, she died. And then he replaced her in 3 months. It's like these women, if you watch ancestry shows or like me participate in an ancestry show, like women used to just unfortunately die. And then a man couldn't have like eight kids on the farm and no wife. So he'd just replace you with a new wife in like 3 weeks. That's the time Bobby's referring to. I'm like, listen, no, women weren't doing this hundreds of years ago, but they're doing it now. And I think it's for the best. And you need to support me in my journey to harvest colostrum. And he was like, well, it just looks painful and strange. And I don't think you should do it. And I just was like, oh my God, we're so similar in all the ways that matter. But then when his old schoolness comes out, I'm like, you just got to trust that I'm on the blogs and I know what I'm doing and my harvesting of colostrum isn't hurting anyone. So now I still do it, but I do it in the shadows, basically. So I'm walking around Manchester. I'm wearing my only remaining winter jacket, thanks to someone in this house. Who knows? Maybe we're robbed again. Maybe someone just came in, took my garment bag of winter coats and bounced. I don't know. Point is, I'm wearing my only winter coat. I'm wearing my husband's clothes. I'm walking down the street and this man comes up to me and he had done that thing where he passed me and turned around and doubled back and went, Catherine. And that happens a lot. Like if I'm walking with a group of people, sometimes people recognize me, but they don't recognize me until after they've passed me for some reason. And then they go, I can hear them say, oh, is that Catherine Ryan? Or sometimes they'll come back and say hi. And there's a drop-down menu of follow-up questions after that. Sometimes they'll just ask me what I'm doing in town, or they'll say I've been to see your show, or they'll have something just kind and generous to share, or we'll take a picture or whatever. This man did none of these things. He circles back and he goes, Catherine. I said, yes. I'm eating a yogurt, looking like shit, walking around. He goes, are you single? I was like, what? What did you just say? He goes, are you single? I was like, I am 8+ months pregnant by my husband, to whom I've been married for over 3 years. I post about him constantly on social media. I talk about him constantly on stage in my new show. I talk about him on TV. I've done interviews about him. I talk about him on my podcast. I just had another baby who's at home and who's 17 months. I got so much baggage. Like, if you recognize me, not everyone has to know me. Not everyone has to know about my life. But if this guy knows me, he knows my name, presumably he recognized me looking like straight shit. I've only looked like shit for the last 3 years. Why doesn't he know anything about me from the last 3 years? Like, if he hasn't seen me at all in 3 years, if he is recognizing me from like your face or mine 4 years ago when I had it together, then like, how did he even recognize me, number one? And how did he have that so current in his brain as to pull it out as a reference? If I hadn't seen someone ever in 4 years, I don't think I'd pass him on the street in a woolly hat and be like, hey. But he's like, hey, are you single? I'm like, no, look at me. No, I'm eating a yogurt in the middle of Manchester Piccadilly on a Saturday morning wearing my husband's clothes, about to give birth. What the fuck? And that was fine. You know, it's nice to be asked. It was flattering, to say the least. Or maybe Manchester standards are just incredibly low and he didn't mind. He was like, are you single? Because I am a midwife. I don't know. I could help you out. Maybe I should have been like, yes, I am single. Bobby and I could use the extra help in the coming weeks. But and then he didn't have any questions after that. I thought it might be just a funny, like, are you single? No. Haha. Anyway, my mom really likes you. Let's take a picture. No, he just walked off after that. He was like, oh, okay. Bye. What? Such a strange interaction. Good for him for shooting his shot. Good for him for not, you know, stereotyping me as someone who was not worth a chat up. Yes, I'm a new mother and I'm about to become a mother again. Yes, I'm almost 40 years old. Yes, I'm married. But that doesn't stop me from maybe being interested in a little bit of northern fun. Good for him, you know? And I'm older than him. I'm sure I was older than him. What a day. What a whirlwind. But that was my last show. Manchester, November 12th. I wrapped Misses. You will never see it live again. I got to write a new show. And I'm excited to do that. And I hope that you watch Misses when it comes out as a special. And I really hope that you tune in to Louis Theroux's interview with me on BBC Two, November 22nd at 9 p.m. I know they're collecting viewing figures from that. And I know that Dame Judi Dench did the best of anyone. And what I don't want to do is the worst. So please watch it. It's unlike any interview I've ever done before. It was, I totally disassociated from having Louis Theroux in my house. If I had really given it the attention it deserved, I would have been nervous, I think, because I love Louis Theroux. I love his style. I love all the work he's done before. What an honor it was to have him. But because I'm so busy and so like disconnected from what's actually happening in front of me, it was just like having anyone in the house. Like, hey, Louis, we had a nice chat. I hope you love it. That's November 22nd. The news, especially the celeb news, has been absolutely popping this week. Jennifer Aniston did a huge interview with Allure. Beautiful pics. I mean, she has always been one of the most captivating women in the world. And of course, she became very, very, very famous in the 90s. She was the epitome of the girl next door and then catapulted to like fame as never before been experienced by anyone on Friends. We were all copying her hair. We were all talking about her relationship. And then that time in media, it was fine to be really nasty about women still. And I feel like all the women on Friends had fake nipples in their t-shirts as well. Because if you watch Friends back, no one's nips are that hard all the time. And it was a sexy look. You know, the little baby doll t-shirt with the sheer bra. Ugh, I think those women are a huge part of the reason I got breast implants. Because I was wearing padded bras when I was young. I had no boy nipple, no boobs at all. Everyone else in my family grew boobs, not me. And I was like, damn, these women just have such lovely, compact, natural, but still there, like a small C breasts, and they always have erect nipples. How are they doing it? Looking back, I think those were silicone nipples, but I digress. Jennifer Aniston, please, can you confirm or deny? It's not my business, but I just kind of need to know for my own personal mental health. All right. So during her incredible interview, she said the following about an unspecified time in her life. She said, I was trying to get pregnant. It was a challenging road for me, the baby making road. All the years and years and years of speculation, it was really hard. I was actually going through IVF, drinking Chinese teas, you name it. I was throwing everything at it. I would have given anything if someone had said to me, freeze your eggs, do yourself a favor. But you just don't think. So here I am today, and the ship has sailed. She has no regrets, and she actually says she feels relieved now because it's not something she has to think about. And having children isn't for everyone. But if you think back, if you're my age, and you remember the time that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were always in the tabloids every day, there was so much speculation. Like, is she pregnant? Is Jen pregnant? You could just talk about women's bodies however you wanted. And then when their relationship dissolved and he very quickly moved on with Angelina Jolie, I mean, what did he do? He had like 10 kids immediately. He came into her family where she had kids, and then they had more kids. They had more adopted kids, and they also had some biological kids, and they just became this big happy family. Well, that was a narrative too. It's like, oh, well, Angie's given him a real family and kids, and that's what Brad wanted. And Jen Aniston is so selfish because she was focused on her career and she wouldn't have kids for him. Da-da-da-da-da. It was disgusting. Can you imagine we were still allowed to talk about women that way now? And can you imagine what it's like to go through that? I remember, like, not to be triggering for anyone, people message me now that I've spoken about miscarriage and they say, is there any triggering miscarriage stuff in your show? Do I have to? Because I'm very much over it now. Not everyone gets over it the same way that I do. Some people are in the middle of pregnancy loss, or it's very fresh for them. And I remember how hurtful it was at that time. But I also remember driving with Violet to Starbucks, and I had just had my second miscarriage of 2020. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, maybe this is never going to work for me again. And it's the only thing that I want. And so many women are able to have it. And here I am in this life where I can have everything. I'm so much luckier than I ever imagined that I would be. There's a quote from Broadcast News, which is a great movie. Someone mentioned it last night. They said, what do you do when your actual life exceeds your dreams? And the answer was, you keep it to yourself. And it's a really cute little quote from the movie. But I thought, oh my God, that's really powerful. Like, my life professionally has exceeded my dreams. And even personally, I have Violet, who's healthy. And that's really all that matters, that your children are happy and well. If you want to have children and the people that you love are safe. And I had Bobby in my life then, and I had all these wonderful things I never thought I'd have. But this very simple thing that so many people take for granted, I could not achieve at the time. And I felt like shit about it. And it was so fresh. I think I'd had the miscarriage like a day before or 2 days before. And we drove to the Starbucks drive-thru. And the barista said to me when he handed us the coffee, are you Catherine Ryan? And I said, yeah. I said, oh, I really like your work. Can I get a picture with you? I said, yeah. He said, are you single? No, he didn't. And I drove away and I just started crying in the car. And Violet hates when anyone cries. She's like, why is this happening now? And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to be Catherine Ryan. Like, I don't want someone to go, oh my God, you're on TV. I don't want that. I just want to grow my family right now. I want this other thing that I can't have. Do you know what I'm saying? So for Jennifer Aniston, that on a huge scale, she's like the most beautiful woman in the world. She's the most famous woman, the most beloved woman. But she wanted to do this thing that none of us knew she was actually trying to do. And it wasn't happening for her. And no amount of money or power or fame was making it happen. And I love when famous women share about this, because I know that real women experience it all the time. And they're like, why can't I solve this? And it's so difficult to explain, like, what a biological injustice it feels like when you want it and it isn't working for you, and you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know how it's going to work or if it's going to work. That uncertainty is actual torture. So it was great that she spoke about it. And it's so nasty how evil the media were with her at the time. And she just, very dignified, just took it on the chin and kept moving forward. Finally, I know you've all seen that Pete Davidson is now reportedly dating Emily Ratajkowski. Ratajkowski. One of the most beautiful women in the world. Again, Pete Davidson dates nothing less than like absolute 11 out of 10s. And people are like, oh my God, how's he doing it? Well, it's his 10-inch dick. Ariana Grande supposedly went on record saying it was 10 inches. Then Pete corrected her. He said, no, it's 9 inches. Kim Kardashian very openly enjoyed Pete Davidson's dick. I'm starting to question why we are allowed to objectify this man and continue to talk about the size of what is quite clearly a solid gold penis. I mean, look, let's be real about the penis. Gentlemen listening, there are things you care about, I believe, more than we care about. I think you guys care about baldness more than we do. I wouldn't mind if someone was bald. Having said that, I don't think I've ever dated anyone bald, but like when I see a bald guy, I think he's just as attractive as someone with hair. It's not something that we think about in a huge way. You guys do. I know you're very sensitive about it. Also, penis size. I don't understand the need for a penis that's going to hurt you. You get UTIs. You can have this thing that one of my friends had where like her cervix was constantly being like smashed in quite an aggressive way from a penis that was too big for like what her body could accommodate. And that's painful. And I know that you guys think having a big dick is awesome. And it's in rap lyrics about like, I'll beat that pussy up. I don't want my pussy to be involved in any type of violence. I think the nerve endings are not even up that high, but there is. This is the thing with dicks, is there, we know that if you grow up with a big penis, that you show it to other guys in the shower, or you participate in some sort of athletics, or you're naked together, and other men first will notice that you have a big dick. We know that that big dick parlays into big dick energy, and you grow up a different person, a more confident person, a more relaxed person, someone who acts like they've got this quiet aura of self-esteem because of how other men have treated you growing up. So that, I think, is what we're attractive to. It's not the big dick, but the BDE, big dick energy. I have always been strongly attracted to big dick energy. And sometimes this energy comes from men who have very average-sized penises. But when you have a big one, you're more likely to have the energy because of how everyone treats you. So that's what it is. It's the swagger. And I will tell you, not just from experience, but from different surveys that I've taken in my industry, a lot of male comedians have huge dicks. Now, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, the talent or the dick? But I think they grow up with this confidence from other men being like, whoa, his dick's big, and giving them like props in the dressing rooms or whatever happens. And they have confidence and they're more likely to go into stand-up. I don't know, or they have this like swagger, but I could name you, but I won't. A few comedians right here in the UK who have big dicks. But it's not appropriate because I wouldn't like it if the male comedians were like, do you know who has stunning labia? Katherine Ryan. That's why I put it in my book for you to read straight from myself. Still stunning, by the way. I don't know what's going to happen after this next baby, but it's gorgeous. And I talked before about sitting in some type of mold and casting it. And a lot of people got angry about that. They're like, don't talk about your labia being beautiful, Catherine. Well, yes, I will. Why? Because we're told that it's like ugly and dirty and whatever. We're not supposed to think it's beautiful. Well, mine's fucking beautiful. And whatever yours looks like, I'm sure it's beautiful too. How about that? Get some labia confidence, ladies. But like when we're in change rooms and stuff, number one, we're not usually naked. And number two, even if we are naked, you can't see it. But men swing it around. They have like contests and helicopter competitions and they do weird things. I don't know. And I think this is what makes Pete Davidson so attractive. Whatever's happening with his dick, and I've not personally seen it, but I've heard the rumors about it being huge. It's given him this quiet boost and women flock to his energy. He is really funny, but a lot of guys are funny and they're not banging. Where's the list? Kaya Gerber, who is Claudia Schiffer's daughter, Kate Beckinsale, who's stunning. Ariana Grande, who just looks like some type of beautiful cartoon mouse. Kim Kardashian, the modern day Marilyn Monroe. Phoebe, whatever her last name is, from Bridgerton, beautiful. He exclusively dates these like hot women. And he's funny, but lots of people are funny, but he's just got this je ne sais quoi, I think, and good for him. Like, what do I care? I think men are triggered by this because Pete Davidson is mopping up the world's hottest women. And they're like, what about me? Like, these guys think they might have had a chance with Kim Kardashian and Emily Ratajkowski. You didn't. And these women are dating Pete, I think, because, well, he's fun for a while, it seems. I don't know what happens after 8 months, but they all seem to be like, that's enough now. I'll tell you what happens. UTIs. There's not enough cranberry juice in the world. You can only do that for a limited amount of time before you start to get injured. And you think, do you know what? My pelvic floor health is worth it to me. I got to walk away from this. Hobble away from this. And Pete's dating all the hottest women. And Nick Cannon is dating all the laziest, dumbest women who don't want to work and who think having a baby is easier than working. Well, guess what? It's not. Especially when the dad signs a check and you only see him once in a while. Oh, good for Pete Davidson. Good for Pete Davidson. What are your thoughts? Please email me, as ever, tellingeverybodyeverything@gmail.com. Let's listen to these words from our sponsors, and when we come back, I'll see what's in the emails today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
The first letter is one about a moral dilemma. Catherine, I made a firm break with an abusive ex over 5 years ago. The only contact at all has been brief and specific to an organization we both volunteered with for a while. I'm deeply in love and happy with someone else. We're planning our engagement, so this is not a romantic situation. The situation with the ex is that, oh, he's an alcoholic of the highest order who has also diagnosed borderline personality disorder and likely comorbid NPD, but I'm not a psychiatrist, is allegedly in AA and is working the steps. I mean, you already know too much about him. You don't need to know other stuff. You definitely don't need to be like pathologizing what is wrong with him. What's NPD? Narcissistic personality disorder, I think. Yeah, we can't go around diagnosing, and also it's none of your business. Allegedly in AA. I mean, look, who cares what he's doing? My first reaction, who the fuck cares what he's doing? You say, I owe this ex nothing. He nearly cost me my life. I avoid him and I don't know anything about his life, nor do I want to. Yes, you do. And I only know he's allegedly seeking treatment for his alcoholism because he reached out via email and asked permission to speak with me on the phone to make amends. Amends is, of course, part of the AA 12-step program. All right. So he should be blocked from contacting you on email. He should not be able to reach out to you in this way. And if you receive an email from him, if these are your boundaries, and if he's an abusive ex who nearly cost you your life, I'm sorry, you shouldn't be reading the email. That's your first mistake, in my opinion. It's just my opinion, but you don't need any contact from this person because you're like, I don't know him anything. I don't know about his life. But you do, because you've read this email and he told you about his life, and you're already speculating like, well, allegedly he's in AA. I don't really know. No, You're letting him live in your head rent-free. You're giving him too much space. I'm not worried about being sucked back into his mind games. And my partner is supportive and understands that how to proceed is my decision alone. He supports whatever I decide to do. So my question is, ethically, should I allow this man to say his piece and feel he's made amends before going back to my zero contact rule? Or ignore him as I have done for over 5 years and continue my reign of badassery uninterrupted? I believe in letting people try to change, but I also believe in putting myself first. I don't owe him peace, but I have no desire to deprive him of it either. I'm not sure what's ethically correct. All right. So by you withholding contact, you're not depriving of him of anything. He can make his peace. I'm sorry if anyone is in the 12-step program. I'm not au fait with all the ins and outs of like why you make amends, if that's for you or if that's for them or if it's just like what the boundaries are of that. But I would imagine that if I was an AA counselor, I would say like make amends if you can. You know, you're responsible for the things you can change and you let go of the things you can't change. Some people won't want to talk to you. That's fine. With those cases, you just make amends with like the universe and yourself, and you're causing them more harm by like forcing your way in and trying to say your piece, because that becomes selfish. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't worry about depriving him of anything. If it is a boundary violation for you to hear his voice or to speak to him on the phone, like you don't have to do that. He can still do his 12-step program and heal without your involvement whatsoever. You do not owe this man your audience. It's up to you and about what you can gain from this apology. Do you feel like you need to put to rest some unfinished business or demons from the past? Do you feel that it would be advantageous to you to hear his apology and get closure that way? If so, let him say his piece. Otherwise, no. You don't have to respond to the email. I don't believe you should have read the email in the first place. I don't believe there should have been an avenue where he could contact you in the first place, because what you say is different from what you do. You say, there's been no contact. I haven't thought about blah, blah. Reading his email is contact. And in my life, I wouldn't have read an email. But in your life, maybe it will help you. So like, don't think about him. You know, he's not an evil person. He's sick. It sounds like fine. It's good that you know that. And it's good to wrap your head around. Sometimes good people make mistakes and it isn't about you. And it's good to just close the door, peacefully move forward. You don't have to wish him any harm or animosity. But equally, you do not owe him your audience. Reading his email is a form of contact. And it's up to you. He can still get the closure he needs and make amends with the universe without you having to listen to his voice. It's totally up to you and what you can gain from it. And that goes for everyone else in the same situation. You don't owe anyone your audience. Oh no, Catherine, my partner wants to go on a break, but insists it's not me. What do I do? I'm 28. My boyfriend's 30. We have a great communicative relationship. We talk through things instead of arguing and generally just have a lot of fun. We both have anxiety, and my boyfriend suffered greatly with this after his last relationship ending. She initially had a break with him to focus on her mental health, and then it ended. He told me of the despair and how she told him it wasn't his fault, but there was nothing wrong with him, but it ended anyway as the relationship affected her mental health. So he tells me all the time about how this is the happiest he's been. He always talks about marriage and kids. So I've never had any worries until last night. We had spent an evening together and we were going when he told me he wanted to go on a break because he doesn't feel himself. Nothing to do with me. I'm great and there are no issues with me. Obviously, I'm heartbroken and I feel extremely anxious about the situation, as he's now doing to me what his ex did to him. I left and I told him to have all the space he needs, but if he wants to talk to me, he can reach out. I just don't know what else I can do or how to keep the negative thoughts of us separating at bay. He kept telling me I'm exactly what he would look for in a life partner. I tick all the boxes, but he feels he has everything and nothing at the same time. I just don't understand his need to break things off instead of me just allowing him space and my support to work through this. I'm especially hurt he has done what his ex did to him, despite knowing how hurtful that was. So what do I do? I mean, ugh. Ooh, I don't know. It sucks to hear it, but it doesn't really matter why he's doing it. And it doesn't matter what happened with his ex. And I know that you think about all the minutia of how hurtful this is and how to get him back and how to act and react. But like, I was in a relationship before Bobby. There was a break after this relationship with someone whom I'm still friends with. A lot of you know who it is, but like, whatever. It's Alex. I'm so bad at like not saying what I want to say. Basically, Alex and I were friends. We were good friends. We had a good relationship for a while. He's the nicest, smartest, most like not an asshole guy I've ever dated. And I respected his work. And that's, I think, why I liked him in the first instance. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the type of person I should be dating. He's lovely. But we weren't right for each other in a number of ways. And how old were we when we split up? I don't know. I was maybe like 34 and he was 30. He was the one who ended it first. He was like, I got to go to America to work on this show. Things aren't going well. We were on a FaceTime. We were always in different countries anyway. I think we were sort of just leaning on each other as like emotional crutches because we weren't in the same place at the same time. And I know that's different. You guys are in the same place at the same time. But here's my point. He was like, this isn't working. And I was fine with it at first. And then after about a week, I was like, wait a minute. What if I never, ever meet someone nice to me ever again? Like, he's the nicest guy I've ever dated. I really like Alex. What am I going to do? And I worked hard to prove to him that it could work. And I thought a lot about, well, why is he saying this? And why is he acting like this? And what does he really want to do? And he was going on dates at the time in America because that's what Americans do. And I was like, oh my God, I'll go to America then and I'll like fix it and I'll do whatever. And I worked so hard to fix this thing. And I worked out all these little details of what was wrong. And he said, like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just we live in different countries and it's not working. And it's ultimately not what's going to make us happy. And then he went back on it and we got back together because I tried so hard to make these things go away. But ultimately, we weren't right for each other. And now we're both happier with our new partners and we're great friends. And that was really a difficult pill to swallow in the moment. Because in the moment, your reaction is that you feel rejected and you want to make everything better and you try to make sense of it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to you. It's just hurtful and it's going to be hurtful for a while. And if someone wants space, you can fight against it and you can squeeze another 18 months out of that relationship. Or you can just let it go and go, all right, well, whatever you need, whatever you're telling me, it doesn't matter why. You just go, the person who's right for me wouldn't be asking for space from me. I wouldn't be saying things like, I feel that I have everything and nothing. You know, Bobby would never say that to me because Bobby is the right person for me. And it's not my fault or Alex's fault that we weren't right for each other. And it's not your fault and this guy's fault that maybe you're not right for each other. Or maybe we'll just have a break and he'll go, holy shit, I hated this break from you and I needed to sort some things out. I mean, I don't know because my mental health has always been quite rock solid. So when you add these complexities of anxiety and different things, like if someone wants a break from you, I think the reason doesn't matter and you can't take it personally. You just have to be like, whatever will be. And who was it? I think actually Tyler Perry, who's a comedian, but it gave me a lot of comfort. It said, someone's in your life for a reason or a season or a lifetime. And if someone walks out of your life, you have to let them go. Oh, hell to the hell to the hell to the no. Catherine, old nudes on boyfriend's phone. I'm 26. I've been going out with my BF for a year and a half. We met through a mutual friend at work shortly after he'd broken up with an ex. We got together quite soon after the split. We took things slowly to make sure he felt ready, which he assured me he was ready. Everything's been great. We're going to hopefully move in together by the end of the year. However, by the end of the year, how are you going to do that? Babe. It's fucking November 17th. However, recently something happened which has left me feeling uncomfortable. We were away. I was scrolling through the photos we had taken that day on his phone while he had a shower. You idiot. Don't treat me like a man. Oh, I was innocently scrolling through the photos that we had taken together while my boyfriend was in the shower. I had full use of his phone and I was just scrolling, but accidentally my thumb just scrolled all the way back to photos from a year and a half ago, 2 years before, she says. Oh, listen to this. And his photos, it was exactly like I thought, his photos spun back when I scrolled up. Oh. So when I stopped on them, it was on the time 2 years before. Babe, I have a 13-year-old daughter. Don't you take me for a fucking fool. How dare you lie to me? Lie to him. You do what you want while he's in the shower. You take his face when he's asleep. Do you know what I did to get into my daughter's phone one time? Is I took a picture of her face and I held that picture up to her phone to open her face recognition. And we have open passcodes in the house. She doesn't have anything secret from me, but whatever this was, I forget what it was, it needed facial recognition. And so I went, like, took a photo, I think a photo on the wall or something, and I held the phone up to it and it unlocked her phone. You do what you fucking want. You drug him while he's sleeping. You take his thumb and you use his thumbprint to open his phone. I don't care what you do. Lie to him. Don't you goddamn dare lie to me. You were going through his phone. You were snooping. Just admit it. I started to go back to where I was. No, you didn't. However, I was shocked to glance at nude photos of his ex, whom I recognized from photos on his social media, which you have also scoured. I felt a bit sick having invaded his privacy, seeing them, as I had done every day of our relationship. However, then I found myself feeling quite upset that he still has these photos. Yes, yes, you felt upset because you found the thing that you wanted to find, that you knew you were always going to find, but that you shouldn't find because, ladies, gentlemen, we cannot go scrolling through people's phones. We can't do it. Because do you know what? You're going to find something you don't like if you scroll far back enough. And that might even be like him having, usually not, it's usually not even guys who do this. It's girls who do this. We have a bad day. And what do? You write to your best friend. I fucking hate my boyfriend. He's such a cock. He's so stupid. And today he did this. And you don't hate him and you don't feel like that. But you just needed to vent to your friend. And you said something really nasty about the partner that you love that you shouldn't have said in writing ever. But you did because we can be nasty like that. And you never meant for him to find it. But if he scrolled through your phone, he might find it and he might be hurt. And it might be so damaging to your relationship, even though it was nothing. It was just you slagging him off. Because that's what you do sometimes with your best friend. Okay? So don't scroll through someone's phone. Just don't do it. And maybe they don't have naked pictures. Probably they don't. But you're going to dig until you find something that hurts your feelings. I've been confused since. And I didn't want to bring it up in case he thought I'd been snooping on his phone when I didn't mean to see them. Stop lying to me. Should I speak with him? How do I bring it up? I don't know if I even want to, as I want to trust him and maybe he's forgotten about them. Okay, here's what you do. You can't forget some things that you see. So you take this as a lesson, like, oh, fuck. I've seen these naked photos now from 2 years ago and I shouldn't have seen them. And now I've seen them. I can't unsee them, but it's entirely my fault. So I need to like red pill myself or whatever and like make myself forget because this is all my fault. I shouldn't have seen it. And you're never going to bring it up with him because what you did was wrong. All right. And yes, in a perfect world, you would think, oh, he deleted these pics. I don't know. Go back in and delete them yourself if you want. We know you're in that phone every time he takes a fucking shower. But just take it as a lesson moving forward. It doesn't matter what happened before you. It just matters what happens now. And you shouldn't have been snooping. You really shouldn't have. And I wish that you could forget this. Oh, Bobby and Fred are coming in. Hi. You can come in. I'm just answering emails. Hi, Fred. Are you playing with Daddy? Hi. Hi, Fred. What are you doing? Oh, a kiss. Thank you. Daddy. A lady was snooping through her boyfriend's phone, but she says she wasn't. She was just innocently scrolling when he was in the shower. And she saw naked pics of his ex-girlfriend from 2 years ago. Hi. Which is 6 months before they started dating. Whose fault is that?
I guess both of their faults.
What's the matter, Fred? You want me to play with you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm finished now. I was just asking.
Yeah, he should have deleted it. And also, maybe he shouldn't be going through his phone. I don't know, unless there's other issues. I have no idea. I'm just jumping in.
All right. I gotta go. Bobby's so nice, always taking the woman's side. I think it's all your fault. Bobby thinks it's both your fault. I'll see you next week. Write me an email. Fred, can you say telling everybody everything at gmail.com? Can you say that? All right. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.